Hi, Stephen. How are you doing tonight?
Yeah, I'm feeling really good, Oliver, and I really enjoyed the two shows we're going to be reviewing tonight. Are you all right?
Yeah, glad you're well. I'm all good as well. Yeah, just much like yourself, got a couple of good shows to talk about. A fantastic start to 2020.
Definitely.
And yeah, without any further ado, let's get straight to it, I'd say. So the first show we want to talk about is Saturday Night at Center Stage, and we have the following match. So the opening match, which I talked about at the time, shocked me to be the opening match, but it was for the ROH World Television title between the returning Andrew Everett and champion Dragon Lee. Yeah, this shocked me that it was the opening match, but it was a really good match. The kind of highlight for me was the reverse of the flying Dragon Rana that, or the Rana that Dragon Lee does to the outside, and Andrew Everett just flipped with it, and it was just like, wow, that was fantastic. And yeah, there was enough moments in the match to say that possibly Everett could win this title, and then the finish itself. No, it's the victory roll, isn't it? The
Victory
victory
roll.
roll
That's it.
kind of thing was the end into the match. So yeah, like I said, really surprised that it kicked off the show, but it did so in a good way. And yeah, but really good performance and effort from both guys. What did you kind of make of this match, Stephen?
I thought it was a brilliant match, and I thought it was a brilliant opener. And to say that Andrew Everett's been out for quite some time due to being injured, he hasn't lost a step. Like, he looked absolutely phenomenal, as he always does. And him and Dragon Lee, the chemistry was just amazing. And the counters, like you said, with the Ranas and the kicks, the Pele's and the knees, and the crowd were just completely into it. And
Yeah, the
I thought it
crowd
was
was
so
fantastic for this show
they
as
were
well. We'll talk about it more, but
yeah.
just seeing that Rana being reversed, especially when you've said like nobody can reverse this, and then he does it, it's like wow, that was just incredible. It really was.
And the the actual, like you said, a viable contender, from having this first match on if you want to have an opener of a show, this was the kind of opener you want to see, because it just got the crowd fired up. And watching it, you just sit there with open mouth, just seeing what these guys were able to do. And it was like we said in the preview, or I said it had elements of the cruiserweight style to it, but as you mentioned, it had more of a depth to it as well. There was a lot of great technical wrestling in this, as well as
Yeah, the
just being.
technical wrestling was on point, wasn't it?
It was.
It was like from a style and substance perspective, it had both.
Yeah.
And the one thing I want to say about this is the two world titles have bookended the show, which I'm
Yeah.
guessing is the reason why they started this show in this manner
Yeah.
with the TV title. So, yeah, big thumbs up to this. I put this on the Twitter poll as one of the four options. Obviously, others one of the options, and this was one of the options as a voting opportunity. So
Yeah.
yeah, this is kind of what we look at, and we're like, okay, well, what could you have replaced this with? Because maybe move up the card and stuff in terms of an opening match, because we like to rebook things, don't we? And I can't really think of, without obviously spoiling what we're going to talk about before we do, can't really think of too many things that could have been moved around to allow this to go further up the card. And that's kind of what I said on the Twitter,
Yeah.
with tweeting and stuff, that this was wrestled like a match further up the card, but it was your opening match.
Yeah.
So kudos to both guys. And then Bully Ray comes out, harasses commentator Caprice Coleman, shoves down the ring announcer Bobby Cruz, calls out anybody in the crowd. Maria Manic comes out, starts to, you know, beat him down. The Allure, they distract Maria Manic, and Bully Ray does a splash through the table on Maria Manic. Okay, so me being completely impartial here, compared to yourself, I didn't hate this. I know I'm supposed to, but I didn't hate this. I look at it from a long-term booking perspective, that the person that does properly stand up to him and, you know, beats him and puts him out is going to be extremely popular, which you can kind of tell from what the crowd reaction.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's kind of my thinking. As long as there's a, you know, an end game, but this end game's gone on for a long time, which is what I'm sure you'll say next.
Yeah, I'm just, people have heard my opinions of this on the podcast and in my previous reviews from writing about the show sometimes, and I'm just tired of Bully Ray. You know, my enthusiasm for all of this, it's just the same old thing all the time. And, you know, you try to be impartial, but I can only be impartial to a point when it's just this all the time. And, you know, I just want to see Maria Manic in the women's division facing, you know, the females and revolutionising the Woman of Honor division. I don't want to see all this sort of these shenanigans and, you know, Bully Ray still trying to be relevant, in my opinion. It just kind of isn't my cup of tea. You know, I could have done without the whole segment, really. It doesn't, for me, it doesn't add anything. It just takes away from Maria Manic and her momentum for me. But, I mean, it wasn't terrible. It wasn't a terrible segment by any means, but it wasn't something I would go out of my way to. It wasn't enjoyable for me, let's put it that way.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Next up was the Allure of Angelina Love and Mandy Leon against Sumi Sakai and Nicole Savoy. And this match itself is like, I enjoyed this. I thought this was good for what it was. Nicole Savoy, you need to give her a full-time deal now because she's just a level above.
She's brilliant.
Yeah, just put the one Women of Honor title on her and give her a full-time deal. And, yeah, we kind of speculated about it on the preview. Are we going to see a miscommunication and what would that lead to? And we did see a miscommunication. The Allure gets the win. And then Sumi Sakai shockingly turns on Nicole Savoy after the match. And it was like, wow. I mean, we only speculated on it because we were thinking, how were they going to get to like match number two if they were? And yeah, come to fruition. And yeah, just shocking. What did you make of this?
I thought this was another really good match. And I liked how, you know, Sumi Sakai's kind of been a babyface for the majority of the time I've seen her, but seeing her suddenly turn heel and be dastardly with it as well, like the way she did it, I thought it was great. And much like last time as well, seeing how good Nicole Savoy is, I can't, you know, I'm completely with you that she needs to be given a full-time contract ASAP because she'll completely revolutionise the Women of Honor division. She's just brilliant at everything. She's got great charisma. And I thought this match from a wrestling standpoint was on point, and I think from a storyline perspective was on point as well. I feel that it achieved both of what it was set out to do, and yep. I really, really enjoyed it.
Next up, we get a video package of PJ Black looking to mentor Brian Johnson and kind of the reluctant relationship that they've got. Excuse me.
I thought it was a really good package, this. And I think, like you said before, Brian Johnson is one of these guys who's just so, he's got so much potential, and he's, you know, so, sort of, able to provoke the crowd and get such a reaction from people is so good that I thought it was a really good little package to show of their relationship. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, I think Brian Johnson's Shane Taylor-esque on the microphone, isn't
he? Yeah.
So, yeah, he's got a huge future ahead of him. So, next matchup was a match that wasn't advertised and thought it would possibly be a TV taping match, but it wasn't. The Mile High Magnum, Dak Draper versus Jason Cade. I think, like, both guys got an opportunity to shine. Once again, it shows what Draper brings to the table. Love the Shame on You and the participation ribbon, because, you know, it's not like in life now, especially when you go into like sporting contests and things of that nature, especially when it's like kids and stuff. It's not about winning and losing. It's the participation aspect.
Yeah.
So I think bringing that into professional wrestling is just amazing. And I'm really behind that. I think it's such a cool thing for a heel to do. And Jason Cade, brought it to Dak Draper. And, you know, yeah, he just come up a little bit short because Draper finished him off with the Magnum KO for the win. And it's just an opportunity to, you know, a showcase opportunity for both guys, especially Draper. Who's got an ROH World Television title shot contract in his back pocket that he's looking to cash in at some point. So what did you make of this match?
I thought it was a really good, fun little match. And, you know, it's the best I've seen Dak Draper look in a while, or from when I've been watching him recently. I saw Jason Cade last year for GCW and on the independents. I searched him out, and you know, he's a really promising young wrestler as well. So I think they really played off each other, and again, they had really good, fun chemistry. And I thought it was the crowd were really into it. The crowd were really behind it, which really added to this match. And I think it really helped Dak Draper as well with his with his actual performance. And like you, I really liked the participation ribbon sort of finish to things. I think that's a really good little bit of sort of gimmickry on Dak's part. So
yeah,
I thought it was really, really good, and a really good showing from both guys, and a match I'd like to see again for longer.
Absolutely. Next up was Josh the Goods Woods with Last Real Man Silas Young against Jonathan Gresham, Stevens' maybe favorite wrestler that isn't Bandito, with Jay Lethal in the match between the one half of the ROH World Tag Team Champions, Jonathan Gresham, against one half of the number one contenders in Josh Woods. In this match, once again, this was just stripped back, you know, pure wrestling, strikes, just perfect masterpiece of technical wrestling, submission wrestling. And I didn't hate the finish, which was he'd worked on the knee so much, including like cheating with the steel chair and what have you, and then getting the count out because he got in the ring before Woods did, after he used the figure four on the outside. That would be usually a finish that you'd hate, especially in ROH, but it worked. So I was completely on board with it. What did you make of this match, Stephen?
I love this match. I thought it was absolutely amazing. Everyone knows that I love Jonathan Gresham, so that doesn't come as a surprise to anyone. And Josh Woods looked amazing in this match.
I was listening.
I think Josh Woods looked brilliant in this match as well, and I loved the fact that Jay Lethal and Silas Young were at ringside as well. I thought that really added to the dynamics of the match itself. It felt like a really legitimate sort of, like you said, a really legitimate sort of wrestling contest.
Amateur wrestling contest.
Absolutely. And you know, the catch as can sort of links and you know, technical stances and the counters and the escapes and the submissions were just all, and the suplexes and everything, they were just all brilliant. Like it was just one of those matches again where you were just glued, well, for me especially, I was just glued to the screen, and it was absolutely brilliant. And like you, I loved the finish. I thought the finish was a really clever way to end the match, and because ordinarily you would have someone jump in at 19 and then the crowd would get amped up, but I like the fact that it ended at 20 and it was a count out victory. And I thought it was really, and also like the fact that Jay Lethal and Silas Young both kind of, they were opposite sides of the ring, and then they jumped to the other side to get by the, because they get by the partner, and then when they realised what was going on, and they got thrown out after trying to throw them into the ring. I thought that was a really clever bit of booking and something really inventive what I'd not seen before. So I really thought it was a match which over-delivered, is what I would say. It over-delivered a lot considering the matches on the show. I really, really liked this match.
So next up is a vignette for Slex. Business is booming. The Australian sensation is coming to ROH and making his debut on the Free Enterprise show on the 9th of February before we head into the next match, which is the Hawaiian Juggernaut, still love that nickname, and Dan Maff against the Briscoes, Mark and Jay, against the lifeblood of Mark Haskins, Overkill Mark Haskins, and Hot Sauce Tracy Williams. See, when we talk about like rebooking the show, maybe I would have switched this with the ROH World Television title match that started the show because of how the pace was in that match, because it was more technical as opposed to like flying around the ring. That you could have possibly changed these two around, you know, because this could have been like a proper, reintroduction into ROH, because obviously the Briscoes have been around. And then if somebody like was like, tuned into ROH again, oh, there's the Briscoes, whereas they might not know Dragon Lee and Andrew Everett. This is possibly the match that could have been changed around. But yeah, in this match again, I had it as match of the night up until this point. It was really, really good. The hosses of Cobb and Math, the Smash Mouth style of the Briscoes, the kind of technical but striking of Haskins and Tracy Williams, and I just thought it all meshed together brilliantly. And kind of, you know, when it's like multi-man matches, you can go one or two ways, but I thought this went the best way. An absolutely fantastic triple threat tag team match that could have gone anyway, and really, really enjoyed it, and it was my match of the night up until this point.
I agree. Yeah, I thought it was brilliant, this match. I thought that, you know, the all three teams looked really, really strong. The crowd, again, the crowd made this match so much more because they were just so into what was going on. They were so behind Dan Maff. You can just see that he's just loving being back in Ring of Honor. And I think that's one thing. Everyone in this match looked like they were having a whale of a time, and it looked like they were really enjoying being out there, and just, you know, they were just into it. And, you know, Jeff Cobb, again, is such an incredible athlete. Like the stuff he was doing and the dives and, you know, the sort of dead lifeblood, you know, with the strikes, but then running out with the dives as well. I thought it was really, I think it was just really well done. And like you said, everyone just meshed brilliantly and all the different styles just came together wonderfully. And it just was one of those great, multi-man matches, which just, again, over-delivered. And it was just brilliant. It was another match which was just brilliant and over-delivered in several ways.
Absolutely.
Great.
So next up, we got a couple of things. A Vincent video package of him becoming the Horror King. Then we have Danhausen joins commentary, and he's I'm completely sold on him. I really am. I can't believe how he's entered my dreams / nightmares ever since. And I want to put Housen after every word that I speak, you know, because it's Danhausen at center stage. And as we'll find out in a short while, it's Danhausen reigns supreme. And I promise I haven't coerced into saying those things, but he's just brilliant. He really is. I'm not even going to let you agree, Stephen, because we both know it's the truth and we're kind of running out of time.
I was about to say. Yeah. I completely agree.
Danhausen, you know, kind of all. Yeah, that's it. So next up was what we was looking forward to on the show as much as anything else. The return of the baddest... baddest champ you've ever seen, I think. Shane Taylor Promotions, Shane Taylor, and calls out the ROH COO Joe Coff, and he comes out, says he's had the best run of his career in 2019, baddest TV champion in history, and he's got you know, a number of stipulations before he signs with Ring of Honor again. He wants a 6-man tag team title shot for his boys, Moses and Khan, the Soldiers of Savagery, plus a partner of his choosing. He wants a world title shot of his choosing, his face and name on every poster, and the biggest paying contract in ROH history. Koff has until tomorrow night to answer. And and basically I said on Twitter with regards to this, give him anything and everything to get him to sign that contract.
And more.
and more, yeah. And push him towards the world title, which is what he's after as part of his stipulations in the contract. So, yeah, we're just under the 5-minute mark. So we've got to kind of hurry this up a little bit. I'm sure you agree with everything I've said so far. If I haven't called you in, Stephen, apologize for that. The next thing up was the semi-main event, which was Flamita, Bandido, Stephen's favorite wrestler, is in Jonathan Gresham, and Ray Harus. And this was the major thing for me. I looked at the match the next night, which was La Fashion against Villain Enterprises. And much like you, and I think we said it on the preview show, my thinking before this match kicked off, before the promo and stuff that Marty did, is they've booked themselves into a corner the next night because La Fashion need to, you know, really look strong and probably need to win. And me and you both said that it's too early for them to win the tag titles. And then Marty comes up with a piece of booking genius, whether he was on the booking committee at this moment in time, or he just showed that he's completely selfless in, you know, what he brings to professional wrestling. Him and the Villain Enterprises decided to change this match from a non-title to a title match. And the fans reacted in the absolute best way to that, as they've been fantastic all night, and it's another place that ROH needs to go back to. Atlanta, Georgia was fantastic for you, and you need to make it a home of sorts. So yeah, Marty cuts a promo saying we're going to defend the 6-man tag titles. PCO can't because he's in the ROH world title match against Roosh, so Flip Gordon's going to replace him. This match was fantastic. The crowd response was amazing. And it is all about the ending, which just shocked, but was just incredibly well done. And once again, you know, just looking at the ending, the chicken wings counted, Bandido, Cradles, Marty, as we get new ROH World six-man World Tag Team Champions. So once again, we're talking about how selfless Marty is. He takes the pinfall on the match that he puts together in terms of the ROH six-man tag team titles, and he's the one that takes the fall, which just goes to show, you know, how selfless he is in professional wrestling, which with the information we've been given since about him signing the largest contract in ROH history and becoming the new head booker, that actually could really work out well for the company. And if he's played a part in this show and the show we're going to talk about in a minute, then yeah, he's done really, really well. Anything you want to add to this match, Stephen?
I just thought it was incredible. Six-man match of one of the best ones I've seen in a long time. And again, the very Hispanic and Latin American crowd got so behind Flamita, Bandido and Rey Harus that, you know, it really added to it. And the reaction from the crowd really, you know, helped this match. And I thought it was wonderful. Absolutely, go out of your way to watch this thing because it needs to be seen.
Yeah, it's the best match of the weekend before we go on to the next review. The reason why we both love this show. So going into the main event, which was former ROH world champion Arturo Blanco and La Faction leader Rush against the new ROH world champion Villain Enterprises PCO. This match didn't really get going. It's ended up in a no contest. It was more about the aftermath, as which we had speculated on the preview show. Dragon Lee and Kenny King arrived to attack PCO. Villain Enterprises arrives at the same time. I think one of the major things was, where's Flip Gordon? If you remember that, was Brody King and Marty that came running out, and I was kind of thinking, where's Flip? And then Flip Gordon comes out as well as the NWA World Heavyweight Champion Nick Aldis arrives to take out Flip, which kind of makes sense because they're in Atlanta, Georgia. And center stage is NWA's home, isn't it?
Yeah.
And yeah, basically the La Fashion take out Villain Enterprises and put PCO through a table, and that's how we end the show.
I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was one of the best Ring of Honor, top to bottom Ring of Honor shows I've seen in a long time. And I think there was a lot of variety on this show. I think there was a lot of great matches. There was a really, really hot crowd, what I think Ring of Honor have been missing from a lot of what we've seen. And there was a lot of really strong booking decisions, both from a storyline perspective and from a win perspective for different people. It was just a really good, fun wrestling show, what I really loved to watch. It was really easy to sit through and loved it.
Yeah. And for myself, I just thought it's consistent wrestling from start to finish. Storylines progressed. You know, we got Nicole Savoy versus Sumi Sakai 2 on the next show, which was tomorrow, but it's going to be in a few seconds when we look at the Honor Reigns Supreme review. The six-man tag titles changing hands was a piece of genius because kind of Bandido, Flamita and had beaten Flip Gordon and Marty at Final Battle, hadn't they? They'd already beaten them, and then Rey Harus kind of needed a win, so this was huge for him personally, because we had him possibly going over for two this weekend.
Yeah,
before this had happened, and I think probably the only minus point is PCO Rus. I don't think we ever want to see that again. to be fair to both guys, and you know, we wanted it to stay in the ring, and it did, but it still had shenanigans. So probably it would have liked it to be the six-man tag titles to main event, but understand why it couldn't,
yeah,
because of the shenanigans in the match. But yeah, I guess from a booking perspective, I think then he, if Marty was involved in it on this night, which I'm not sure about, then he nailed it. He really got it off to a great start. And for all those people that are desperately wondering how Oliver versus Stephen 3 and
so. Saturday night at Centre Stage, it was 4-2 to myself, so I predicted 4 matches correctly, and Oliver only predicted 2 correctly. But then, for Honor and Sue,
thanks for you know, breaking that down for us.
It's for all those people who just, you know, were need that kind of minute detail.
That's interesting. yeah, I'm a 3-time professional wrestling author. My name is Oliver Newman, and I've done 2 books involving Ring of Honor. The first book involves the Unified and the Liverpool double shot in 2007, and that's a fan's perspective, one man's exploration of British wrestling. And my second book is based on the Orlando double shot in 2008. And that is a fan's perspective, how my lifelong dream became a nightmare. And those books are available on Amazon and paper on Kindle, Kindle instantaneously and for free on Kindle Unlimited. And if you would like a signed copy, get in contact with me on my Big Cartel, fansperspective.bigcartel.com.
Yeah. If you want to catch some of my work, my written work, I'm a member of the Wrestling Estate, so if you are on Twitter, search for the handle @TheWrestlingEST, where you can find my written work about Ring of Honor and my colleagues' work about various other parts of the industry. And we cover a weekly roundtable each week where we each answer a set of questions about a different topic. And feel free to follow us.
We at Broken But Glorious have a partnership with powerslam.tv. they show 6,500 hours of professional wrestling from 140 promotions and 40 plus promotions, sorry, and you can access this for a month on us with the code broken free. And in terms of Twitter handles and stuff, I was going to leave it till after that part, but yeah, Twitter handles for myself, it's @Brumial, Instagram @Brumial, Facebook A Fan's Perspective UK. Stephen, what are yours?
@SteJ215.
And back to us, BBG Wrestling, a main hub on Twitter is @BBG Wrestling. The main podcast is @BBGW Pod, and we have a website, bbgwrestling.com.
So thanks for listening. See you later.
Bye for now.
Bye.